الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي زوروا شيخ الله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered some of the important contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, especially after the conquest of Makkah. We covered the siege of Taif and also the campaign of Banu Tayh, which was under the leadership of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Brothers will recall that the tribe of Tayh was famously known after their leader, whose name was Hatim Tayh, a man who was very generous and a man who was well known for his generosity in the Arabian Peninsula. And when the captives were presented in front of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the tribe of Tayh, the daughter was released, and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her that honor due to the contributions of the father, that Hatim Tayh had contributed greatly in the Arabian Peninsula, a man who served the people of his community. And she embraced Islam. In fact, her entire clan, the tribe, had embraced Islam. And also the brother later on came and had embraced Islam. And so by now, slowly, alhamdulillah, Islam was spreading rapidly in the Arabian Peninsula. Muslim historians, however, have mentioned an incident of two tribes which are located very close to the western section of Madinatul Munawwarah. And these two tribes have been given a name. The first tribe is known as Banu Zabada, the people of Zabada. And the second tribe is the tribe of Ushus, Ushus tribe and the Banu Zabada tribe. Now both of the tribes had embraced Islam. So many people were embracing Islam. And so what had happened is that the two tribes that were located close to Madinatul Munawwara, the Ushus people and also the Zabada clan, all of them embraced Islam. But even after embracing Islam, there was a lot of dispute and disunity between the two tribes. They would never get on well with one another. If a group of individuals from the Ushus tribe would pass the Banu Zabada tribe, they would fight with the Ushus people. And if the Banu Zabada people were to pass from the Ushus tribe, they would face an attack from the Ushus people. And so this was a continuous incident that was in occurrence between the two tribes. Now the main reason for this was that their leader, the leader of the Banu Zabada tribe, his name was Amr ibn Ma'di Karab. Amr ibn Ma'di Karab. Amr ibn Ma'di Karab's father was killed by some members of the Ushus tribe. And that is why what he wanted was blood retribution. What he wanted is that some of the people from the Ushus tribe have to be killed, so there's equality. And so blood retribution was important for him. And so what he wanted was revenge, vengeance. And so he said to his people that when you see the people passing by, I want you to attack them. And if they attack you, you should even kill them. But by now all of them had embraced Islam. When this matter came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to Amr ibn Ma'di Karab and also the leaders and the chief of the Ushus tribe, and said to them that what was the disunity, the main factor of disunity amongst the two tribes. And Amr bin Ma'di Karab said that obviously they have killed my father, and what I want is blood retribution. I want someone from the Ushus tribe to be killed also, which is known as Qisas in Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Amr ibn Ma'di Karab that all of your dealings, your actions, the blood money and the blood feud that was there between the two groups, all have been annulled after embracing Islam. So whatever you did before, that is of the past. Your actions of the kufr are with kufr, and now in Islam only the laws of Sharia will apply to you. So what you have to do is forgive him. What you have to do is forgive him. Now Amr ibn Ma'di Karab stood up from the gathering of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said that I can't forgive the people of Ushus, and he walked off. Now this was of course disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companion said, perhaps in anger he has taken this decision, let us see what will happen. So this man went back to his people and said to the people that I want a revolt amongst all of you, that we turn back to the religion of our forefathers and to become mushrik again, to worship idols and to turn away from Islam. And so when Amr ibn Ma'di Karab became a murtad who apostated from the deen of Islam, when the leader takes one side, it is said that the rest would also follow. So all of them one by one also became murtad, al-iyazu billah. And they said that what we will do now is that we will have a fight with the Ushus tribe. And at that time, the chief of the Ushus tribe, his name was Haris ibn Ka'b. Haris ibn Ka'b. What had happened is that very cleverly, they tricked Haris ibn Ka'b into passing from one location, and then they attacked him, and the chief was now killed. So the Ma'di Karab clan, the Banu Zabada clan, managed to kill the chief of the Ushus tribe. Now the Ushus people were still Muslims, so they came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Amr and his tribe are no longer Muslims and they have also killed our chief. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very angry, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time again gave the flag and leadership to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and said to Ali that I want you to go and find the rebels and need be to fight the rebels. So an army, a section of the Muslim army went with Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and obviously they were prepared. They knew that after killing the chief of the Ushus tribe, surely Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to send an army. And so the army, the Muslim army, and also the clan of Amr ibn Ma'di Karab or the Banu Zabada tribe, both of the armies met in an open area, in an open field, as was the conventional method at that time of fighting. Amr was a brave soldier, a warrior, a fighter, and he was also a leader. So he came forward. He stepped out from the ranks and he came forward and he looked at the Muslim army. And he said that I will want to fight Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. It was a very brave decision taken by Amr ibn Ma'di Karab, when of course he knows who Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala was. And Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala also took one step forward and he said, I am prepared and I accept the challenge of Amr ibn Ma'di Karab. Now this man was an expert in sword fighting. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an came forward, and very skillfully Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an protected himself. Historians have mentioned that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an came forward, What he did is that at that moment he shouted the name of Allah. What did he say? Nare Takbir. He did not say Nare Ghosiya. Did he say that? No. He did not say Nare Ghosiya. But what did he say? Nare Takbir. And so it is only the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that protects a person. Ibrahim alayhi salam said Hasbunallah. All of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam have taken the name of Allah. And that is Tawheed and the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by saying this does not mean also al-iyazu billah that we disrespect awliyaullah. Never. Awliyaullah sir aankhon par. They are the greatest people. Who can deny the great vilayats and the status that Allah has given great scholars, ulama, Imam Abu Hanifa, the Fuqaha, Imam Bukhari, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. These were great people. But as far as Islamic laws and Sharia is concerned, when we look at the words chanted by the name by Hazrat Ali himself, and you will find that many a times today, that at times of difficulty, people will take the name of Hazrat Ali. And this is only because of the influence of Shiism that has crept into the Muslim Ummah. And you will find people saying, Nare Hadri Ya Ali. Nare Hadri Ya Ali. They don't take the name of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. They don't take the name of Hazrat Umar Farooq. They don't take the name of Hazrat Usman. But they say, Nare Hadri Ya Ali. And here Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I'm in the battlefield. When you study the seer of Hazrat Ali, it is said that he said, Allahu Akbar, and with such ferocity. Ulama have mentioned that the power of Allah was such that it was far more superior than the roaring lion also. And it cast terror and fear in the hearts of the kuffar. But they were shivering when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, Allahu Akbar. When he said Allahu Akbar, this man Amr ibn Mahdi Karab came forward with his sword and there was an intense fight. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala did not receive a single blow. And on the contrary, ulama have mentioned that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala pushed him. By pushing him, he fell down on the ground and the sword fell from his hand on one side. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him that, stand up, I don't want to fight a man without a sword. So stand up with your sword and fight me again. So this man stood up again and he took his sword and he made a runner from the battlefield. What did he do? He made a runner from the battlefield. And this is actually mentioned. Because you need a lot of guts and a lot of courage to fight Hazrat Ali and people like Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. And it's Iman. And so what he did is that he ran from the battlefield without looking at his own people. And his clan, the clan of Banu Zabada, were demoralized completely. What do you do? Without your leader, who is there to fight and who is there to challenge the Muslims? Eventually all of them surrendered. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and took all of them as captives back to Medina Munawwara in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, I want your leader, Amr ibn Ma'di Karab, where is he? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that he fled from the battlefield, wallahu alam. It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them an option, that you either revert and reconvert to Islam or pay jizya. And they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was fighting, we could actually feel this supernatural power aiding the Muslims. And we felt that Islam was the only true religion. And they said that we repent at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all of the tribe of Banu Zabada also embraced Islam and they became Muslims. Now ulama have mentioned that later on Amr ibn Ma'di Karab also came to Madinatul Munawwara and he also embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted this. After the many tribes in the Arabian Peninsula, especially the tribes that were around Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara and the region of Taif, virtually all of them had embraced Islam. The threat that was open was from the Syrian borders. The Byzantine Empire was a powerful force, and it was imminent that very soon, after recognizing that the Muslims were very, very strong and very powerful, that any time the rumors were spreading that they were to attack the Muslim borders from the region of Syria. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not want to take any risk. Now when we look during the course of history, what would happen is that the Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire both were at loggerheads to one another. Both would fight each other. At times the Persians would have an upper hand, and at times the Byzantines would have an upper hand. Now during the early years of the 7th century, what had happened is that the Persians had defeated the Byzantines. And this is also mentioned in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum. In fact, we have one entire chapter which is named after this event. So in the early 7th century, what had happened is that the Persians had crushed the Byzantine Empire. And obviously the Arabs were extremely happy. They were happy at the victory of the Persians. Why? Because the Persians were mushrik. The pagans, the Persians were mushrik, and also the Arabs were mushrik. They had that similarity in their beliefs. The Persians were mushrikeen, and also the Arabs were mushrikeen. And the Byzantine, all of them were Christians, Ahle Kitab. And so they did not want the Byzantine to win. When this news came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a prophecy. And he said that very soon the tables will change. And he said that within 10 years, the Byzantine army will crush the Persian army. Now this was something that the Arabs could not believe. And for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say that, alhamdulillah, it is iman on the part of the companions. And the companions saw this prophecy coming true, which is also mentioned in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within a few years, Hercules, emperor of the Byzantine Empire, what he did is that he attacked the Persian people with a powerful army and defeated the Persians completely. Now it was at that moment that the Persians were also defeated by the Byzantine Empire, and the Islamic Khilafat was also at its peak, that the Muslim army was growing and more people were embracing Islam. Now the Byzantine could not even take that now they have defeated the Persians. They did not want any rival or opponents in front of them. They wanted to be the superpower of the time. Remember, all the time the superpowers were the Persians and the Byzantines. Now when the Byzantine had defeated the Persians, this was more or less during the same period of time when Islam was at its peak, when all of the tribes in the Arabian Peninsula had become Muslims, and slowly the Islamic armies were growing and more people were joining the ranks of the Muslim army. So there was this imminent threat. What they wanted was to attack the Muslims immediately to weaken the Muslims. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions that I'm not going to take a chance. I will not take a chance. And he said to the people that we will go towards the borders of Syria. And this battle is known as the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk was such a serious matter for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself led this expedition. Himself led the expedition. And it was the most difficult time for the companions and in general for all the people. Why? It was extremely hot. The season was extremely hot, extremely unfavorable for any of the armies to meet up for a fight. And it was also the harvesting season. So it was extremely difficult for the people of Madinatul Munawwara, and it was a testing time for Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. But at one announcement, my respected brothers, it is said that as many as 30,000 mujahideen said labbaik to the announcement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 30,000 people were prepared at the most difficult juncture, unfavorable season, extremely difficult. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we don't want to waste time, and immediately we are to go towards Tabuk, the route of Tabuk, and seal the borders of Syria, and said to the companions that possibly an army, the enemies are waiting for us, and we will fight the enemies in the area of Syria, where that border will be open. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now the reason why I'm mentioning this again, we see the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. This was a difficult moment for the Muslims. A lot of finance was needed for this battle also. And the man who had taken all the reward in this battle of Tabuk was who? Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala. Remember Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he said that who will give to Allah and his Rasul? And the only man to stand up at that time, it was a difficult moment, just shows the wealth that Allah had given Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He stood up and he said 100 camels. 100 camels. Lillah I am giving. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter said, again who will give me? He stood up again and he said, another 100 camels. These are camels, not goats that we are talking about. Camels. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, more. Hazrat Usman stood up, 100 camels, 100 camels. And people were just looking at Usman radiallahu ta'ala, what a man he was. He gave in one majlis gathering 950 camels. This is his contribution during one battle, one expedition, the battle of Tabuk. 950 camels. And he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no camels. I'm giving you 50 horses to complete 1,000. Allahu Akbar. And then he also came with dirham and dinar in his sleeves. And he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. And he opened up his sleeves and he put it in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what I have is for you only. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the dua that is not given to anyone. He said, Usman, even if you were to commit a sin, Allah has said to the angels, don't write your sin. Even if you were to commit a sin, Allah has said to the angels, don't write his sins. That is how much Allah is pleased with you. Allah. Of course, that did not give him the license to carry out anything wrong. But that is how you say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. So again, great contribution came from the companions. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did is that he appointed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and to stay in Medina as his governor. So he stayed in Madinatul Munawwara as his governor, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 30,000 mujahideen went out of Madinatul Munawwara. And he said to Ali that make sure that you look after Madinatul Munawwara. That is why it's so important that first you look after your main central location, your platform, which is so important, which is the Khilafat of the Islamic Empire. At that time, it was Madinatul Munawwara. Now, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was in Madinatul Munawwara, the difficulty was that the hypocrites did not want to fight and join the ranks of the Muslims. So they would come one by one and make uzr to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with an excuse. Oh, I have this as my situation, this is my problem, this is my problem. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, it's okay, you don't have to come, you don't have to come. So basically all of the munafiqeen at that time were in Madinatul Munawwara. And now what did the munafiqeen do? They started spreading rumors. And rumors again is a massive fitna. When they started spreading rumors, it was difficult for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, even a man to his caliber with his strengths. And they started saying that Ali, a man who single-handedly had taken on all the missions, today he is scared of the Byzantine army. And very conveniently, because he is the family member of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has taken this position that he wants to be the governor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wants to be in Madinatul Munawwara. He does not want to fight. And so people started talking, until it became extremely difficult for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Now the Muslim army was of 30,000 people. So when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of Madinatul Munawwara, he stationed at a place called Maqam-e-Jurf, at a place which is known as Jurf. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and quickly left Madinatul Munawwara and caught up with the Muslim army, and he met Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at Maqam-e-Jurf, and he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that my desire is to fight with the Muslims and I want to be part of this expedition. And Ya Rasulullah, it would be better if you were to appoint someone else as the governor of Madinatul Munawwara, because this is a difficult task, rumors are spreading and it is becoming difficult for me. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ali that, O Ali, I have appointed you and there is hikmah and wisdom in that. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that you have the hypocrites that are there, make sure that you don't allow the hypocrites to carry out any kind of conspiracy, mischief in Madinatul Munawwara, any kind of propaganda against the Muslims. Make sure everything is under control in Madinatul Munawwara, and therefore I need someone who's going to be strong. And that is why I have appointed you, because all of the Munafiqeen are still in Madina Munawwara. So there is a threat. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala understood. And as he stood up, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him and he said, Ali, let me tell you something. Let me put a smile on your face. And he said that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to the mountain of Tur, he left his brother Harun as his deputy and to look after Banu Israel. I am going with the Muslims to Tabuk and I leave you behind as my deputy, just like Musa alayhi salam left Harun alayhi salam. So this is supposed to be great honor for you. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was extremely happy at this basharat and this honor, that obviously Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that he is like Musa alayhi salam is and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to remember this relationship of Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. The analogy is not in prophethood. The analogy is not in prophethood. The analogy is in leadership. The analogy is in leadership. Like how an extremely difficult mission was given to Harun alayhi salam and he could not even control Banu Israel and they started worshipping that calf. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was given that mission and he made sure that all of the Munafiqeen were in control. So when he came back to Madinatul Munawwara, he called Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was the leader. And he looked at Abdullah ibn Ubay and he said, Abdullah ibn Ubay, I have my eyes on you. If there is any fitna that comes from you, I will personally cut off your neck with my own sword. So these are the words of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Abdullah ibn Ubay had no power to do anything at that time. So Madinatul Munawwara was completely secure. 30,000 men mujahideen are with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam going to Tabuk. It was a long march to Tabuk. When the Muslims got to Tabuk, Allahu Akbar, to their surprise, no one was there. There was no fight and the Christian army was not there. The Byzantine army was not there. When they received the news that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself is coming with 30,000 mujahideen, it is said that their army pushed themselves completely back into Syria. And they were not in the mood to measure their swords with the Muslims. They did not want to fight the Muslims. Ulama have mentioned that this was a moral victory for the Muslimin. It was a difficult journey. But in the annals of Islamic history, this shows that even during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muslims were prepared to take on any kind of challenge, even if it means to take on the superpower of the time, which was the Byzantine Empire, who had just recently defeated the Persian Empire. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back. As he came back to Madinatul Munawwara, again another conspiracy, a trap was laid for Aliyazu Billah, the Muslims and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What had happened is that the Munafiqeen had invited Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come to the locality of Quba. As the army came back from Tabuk, from the battle of Tabuk, there was no fight. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was invited to come to Quba and the Munafiqeen had constructed this this building, which they named as a masjid. And the history of this masjid goes that there was this man whose name was Abu Amir. Abu Amir. He was a Christian. Are you sunne ki baat hai? He was a Christian. Remember, one was Amr ibn Mahdi Karab. He was from the Banu Zabada tribe. He was different. This man is Abu Amir. Abu Amir was a devout, staunch Christian. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam personally went to him to invite him to Islam, and he rejected the call of Islam from the mouth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in fact, he said that he will fight against those who fight the Muslims. And he said this to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, Abu Amir was a Christian, and his son, who was his son? Anybody here knows? His son is the famous Sahabi who's known as Hazrat Hanzala. Who is he? Hazrat Hanzala. And Hazrat Hanzala is known as Ghaseelul Malaika. Brothers will recall, Hazrat Hanzala got married in the night, and just a few hours of his marriage, whilst the marriage consummated and he had his relationship with the wife, it is said that an announcement was made for jihad. Preparations were being made, but it so happened that he got married, and then it was announced that it is time for jihad. Look at the women during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said to the husband that don't even waste time to make ghusl. Don't even waste time to do ghusl. Take up your arms and immediately go to the battlefield. And ghusl was farz upon Hazrat Hanzala, and he went with his sword in the battlefield and he became shaheed. It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the family members who were looking for the body of Hazrat Hanzala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the family members that a group of angels have taken Hanzala to the heavens and they have given him ghusl with the water of Jannah. They have lifted him to Jannah and they have given him ghusl with the water of Jannah. And he earned this title that he is Ghaseelul Malaika, the one who was given ghusl by the angels, by the Malaika. Now his father, Abu Amir, his real father, was a staunch Christian. And so what he did is that because he was a Christian, he had ties with the Byzantine people in Syria. And he connected, liaised with the Munafiqeen in Madinatul Munawwara. He said that whilst the Muslims are in Tabuk, I have already spoken with the Byzantine Christians. Very soon they will attack Madinatul Munawwara. What I want you to do, he said to the Munafiqeen, is that let us have this undercover building, a deception for the Muslims. So let us construct a building and we will label that building to be a masjid. And it won't be a masjid, it will be a place in which we will hide arms and weapons. So it will be a storage room for weapons and arms, so that it will come in handy to even the Byzantine individuals and also the Munafiqeen who would want to fight the Muslims. And so from the outside it will be a masjid, but inside it will be a place where all the weapons will be stored. And so this was the plan. So when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, all of the Munafiqeen gathered and they said, Ya Rasulallah, we understand that you have built a masjid in Quba, but the masjid does not accommodate all the people, and so we have built another masjid, and so we want you to be the guest of honor and to lead the people in its first salah. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam took mashwara from the companions, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and they were all of the opinion that there is something wrong here. There is something wrong here. Again, we see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam consulting his companions, and consulting is something that is good. And when you consult someone, you must consult those who are God-fearing people. And by then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the verses of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That this is not a masjid, it is a masjid a dirar. It is a masjid that has been built so that it causes factions amongst the Muslims, and it is masjid al-zirar to cause disunity amongst the people. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the information Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said to the companions to go and demolish the masjid. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, a lot of the companions were parts of this program to demolish this masjid. Ulama have even mentioned Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was also part of the group who had demolished this masjid. And who was Hazrat Wahshi? Hazrat Wahshi was the man who made shaheed to Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. By then Hazrat Wahshi was also a Muslim. So again we see a lot of contribution that come generally from all the companions, but also Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that he was the governor for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Muslim army went to Tabuk with the intention to fight the Byzantine Empire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala harik wa tawfiq di wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.